Thank you very much, honorable members. Lisa, can you flag the agenda? Let's start with our meeting. It's 9:30, honorable members. I must just indicate that let me take this opportunity to welcome honorable members, the team from auditors, the team from the department into this meeting, and indicate that we have been preparing this meeting. We have put time from 9:30. Honorable Mashiru, can you hear me?
Sorry.
Okay. From 9:30 to 1:00. I'm in Cape Town. I'm supposed to attend the sittings, and there is indication that the buses would leave parliamentary villages at 12:30. So means that by 12:25 I should leave the meeting. Secondly, I had requested the secretariat that looking at the agenda, that the agenda might not we might not have much time in terms of, because there is a sitting today, we should look at apply for the, after the sitting, we continue with our meeting, so that there's not, we can still do that after the sittings on Wednesday or on Thursday after the debate. So I'm going to propose that we listen to the auditor general or the auditors, governor auditors, and then we then have a researcher, if he's here, because he was not notified, and then we then adjourn the meeting, and then we reconvene where we get the department to come and present, so that members must have more time to interact with both the auditors and the department. So that's my proposal. That's my proposal. Can I get members to raise their hands to talk to the agenda before we start with our meeting? Maybe before we do that, let's observe the moment of silence for meditation, and then we must then discuss the issue of the agenda as I have proposed. Let's observe a moment of silence for meditation or prayer first. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, honorable members. As I've said, that As I've explained, if you look in terms of the time, we might not do justice, because today's agenda, honorable members, we are looking at the annual report of HDA. We might not have much time in terms of the time that we have to interact with the report. I want to suggest that we then look at how we today we give auditors the briefers, we interact with them, ask questions. If we still have some minutes, if the we can request that to talk to the research, and then we'll be at a later stage, whether tomorrow after the sitting, because it's ending up around past 5, because it's the deputy president answering the question, or mini plenaries, we then request, we then proceed with that, so that we have to enter, because this is the annual plenary meeting. Can I get indication from members that we agree in terms of how we would deal with this
Chairperson, can the report? Agenda be scrolled so that we can see it?
Hey, person, it's Honorable Powell. My hand is up.
The agenda is... can you see it, Honorable Zeki?
If they can scroll it up, Chair, because I can't see the whole.
Take it up.
My proposal. Sorry, Honorable Powell, I didn't raise my hand. Chair, I was thinking that with your advice, let's just continue and see how far we'll go with this 2.5 hours. We'll discuss it at that time when you are about to leave. But your proposal is noted.
Okay, we can't hear you properly.
Honorable Powell, Honorable Mashefu.
Are you recognizing me? Sorry, we can't hear you properly, Chairperson.
No, you can't. No. Honorable.
Chair, we can't hear you.
But I can hear you, Honorable Member.
You are breaking.
Oh, okay. You recognize me then?
Yes, Honorable Powell, and then Honorable Mashiru.
Okay, Chair, I'd like to propose the agenda split into two sections. First, the audited general, so the external auditor's outcomes, and then second section being the annual report. I would like to propose that in this session we go through the first section, which is the audit report, and then take questions from members on that item. And then receive the annual report briefing and questions at a second later session. But I do think that it's important that members are able to engage with the audit report today. You will also note, Chairperson, that this meeting is Z-listed officially to have begun at 9 a.m. and to conclude at 1 o'clock. We all have to be in the house at 2 o'clock, and I don't believe that transport requirements should be used as a reason to cut important statutory committee meetings short. So my counter proposal is that we go through the audit statement, take questions, comments, and receive answers, and and then at a second session go through the Housing Development Agency. We can't come to committee just to listen, Chairperson. Our role here constitutionally is to interrogate and to provide effective oversight. Thank you.
Yeah, I think it is me. Chairperson, are you in the meeting?
Looks like the chair is struggling with the network.
Can
you continue, Mr. Mashiko?
Are you chairing?
No, I will check the chairperson now.
Honorable members, I can hear you. I can hear you, Honorable Mashiko.
Chairperson, did you hear my input? It's Honorable Powell. Did you receive my input? Did you hear them properly?
Yes, and Honorable Powell, I was saying what you are saying, that's what I'm proposing.
Okay.
Can I request other members to mute their mics?
Chairperson, can I just get clarity? Will that mean that we do get to ask questions today? Because you had said that it will just be the auditors and the researcher. Cool. Awesome.
No, Honorable Powell. Honorable Powell, can I repeat what I've said today with then questions and comments? And if we still have time, if the researcher is here, we can then request the researcher to take us through his research. And then I said at 12:30, I'm leaving the meeting because the transport, which is not my arrangement, because it's Parliament's arrangement, I will have to leave the meeting. And if members still wants to proceed, then we can then elect the chair until 1:00. That's what I'm saying, Honorable Powell. So the meeting will be divided into two. Today would not actually get the annual report from the HDA. We'll apply for after the sitting tomorrow or on Thursday, because the sitting ends earlier, and then we have this interaction with the department. So that's what I'm saying, Honorable Powell. So we are going to have questions and clarifications and comments on members. So can we then get Honorable Mashiko?
Thank you, Chair. Good morning to everybody. And I think it was even proposed by Teki that we can continue as you propose. At the time when you are going to leave the meeting, we'll take it from there. But I think one must just make a point, Chair, that what Paul is making of whether transport arrangement can deter the meeting or not. I think we should take into cognizance the fact that it is Parliament that is arranging transport, and it is Parliament that needs us there. So when people are not going to attend Parliament physically, people that attend physical Parliament must not be punished for adhering to Parliament regulations. But I think let's deal with Powell is agreeing with ourselves. We're agreeing with her in actual fact. That let's engage with the auditor's report, question it, and finalize them. The second phase of what she's proposing, you are saying, unfortunately, it can't be today. And I think we agree with that point.
Honorable Masala.
No, thank you so much, Chairperson.
I'm not sure if it's my gadget. Honorable Masala. Honorable Masala. Honorable Masala, you are
Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
Yes.
My audible chair.
We can now. Yes.
Oh,
yes,
you
now
can.
We can hear you.
Yes.
We can hear you now. Proceed.
Can you hear me now? Okay.
Yes.
Sorry about that. Okay. No, Chairperson, I was saying, if really we're going to divide this into two. Today we deal with Auditor General instead of wasting time. Let's deal with the Auditor General and then we ask question after that. From there, the second part is for tomorrow. We deal with that. I think it's fair. It's fine. We can still, we're still going to call the Housing Development Agency tomorrow on its annual report. So I don't see any problem with regard to that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think there is agreement. Let me take this opportunity. Let me take this opportunity to welcome honorable members to this meeting and welcome the Nguvani auditors, which were the auditors for HDA. You'll remember that when we had the annual report of the department, the Auditor General had indicated that HDA is not audited by them, it's audited by private auditors. So we have Mr. Nguvani in the meeting and the team, and the department is here. I'm going to take this opportunity to welcome everybody in the meeting and ask Mr. Nguvani and the team to present on the audit outcome of the 2019-2020 annual report for HDA. Mr. Nguvani?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I am just going to present or project the presentation. I don't know if it's visible.
Yes, it is.
Yes, you can see. It is.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Chair and Portfolio Committee members. My name is Edwin Chapanduka. I am a director at Nguvani & Company, and I was also the engagement director for the audit of HDA. For the period under review. Accompanying me is Benias Deal, who was the senior manager on the engagement, and also Londoloza Songwevu from the Auditor General. Through you, Chair, Honorable Chair, the first slide that I'm projecting, it provides the basis of our appointment. HDA is a Section 4.3 audit, and our appointment was done in terms of Section 25.1 of the PAA Act, in this case where AG has opted not to perform the audit of the auditee in accordance with Section 4.3. And Nguvani & Company was appointed to be the auditors of HDA, and we have been auditors for HDA for the last 3 years, and myself, I was the engagement auditor for the last 2 years, which includes the year under review. And for the basis of this presentation, Honorable Chair, I have just highlighted the categories of the audit outcomes, and these are firstly, it's the unqualified with no findings. And the second category, it will be unqualified with findings. The third category is qualified with findings. And then there is the adverse with findings. And then a disclaimer with findings. And outstanding audit, in this case, it's not applicable. These are further explained in the slides to follow. The next section, I was just highlighting the abbreviation that we'll be using in this presentation, with the first one being HDA, which is the Housing Development Agents, and PAA, which is the Public Audit Act, AOPO, which is the Audit of Predetermined Objectives, and SCM, which is the Supply Chain Management, and RI, which is the Reportable Irregularity. Through Honorable Chair, I am going to present you the outcome from the audit that we recently completed. When we are auditing the public entity's financial statements, we examine the following three areas. The first area that we look at is on the fair presentation and the absence of significant misstatements in the financial statements. And then the second area is the on whether the entity has provided reliable and credible performance information for predetermined objectives. And then the last component that we focus on is on compliance with all laws and regulations governing the financial matters of the public entity. And with the item two and the category three, these are audited in line with the Auditor General methodology. And the first one, which is the fair presentation and absence of significant misstatements in financial statements, this is audited in line with the our FAME methodology. And just to highlight or to provide more clarity on the categories that I had highlighted earlier, the first category, which is the unqualified opinion with no findings, this is commonly referred to as a clean audit. Under this category, the auditee would have produced credible and reliable financial statements that are free from material misstatements. And also, they would have reported in a useful and reliable manner on the performance as measured against the predetermined objectives in the annual performance plan, and have complied with the key legislation in conducting their day-to-day operations to achieve their mandate. The second category, through you, Honorable Chair, is the financial unqualified opinion with findings. Under this, the OGT would have produced financial statements without misstatements, or could correct the misstatements that would have been identified through the audit process, but struggles in one or more area which are highlighted on the presentation, which is the alignment of the performance report to predetermined objectives they committed to in their APP. And then the second is to set clear performance indicators and targets to measure their performance against the predetermined objectives. And the third is the report on the reliable on whether they've achieved the performance target. And lastly, to determine their legislation, determine the legislation that they should comply with and implement the required policies, procedures, and control to ensure compliance. And then the next category, it will be the qualified opinion. Under this, the entity will have the same challenges that I have highlighted, but in addition, they could not produce credible financial statements and had material misstatements on specific areas in the financial statements which could not be corrected before the financial statements are published. And the fourth category, which is the adverse opinion, the OGT would be having the same challenge as those with the qualified opinion, but in addition, there are so many material misstatements in the financial statements that we disagree with almost all the amounts and disclosures in the financial statements. And the last category, it will be the disclaimer of opinion. Under this category, the ODT, we have the same challenges as the qualified opinion, but in addition, they could not provide us with evidence for most of the amounts and disclosures reported in the financial statements, and we are unable to express an opinion on the credibility of the financial statements. And these are the categories that are there on the audit report. And to cover now the audit outcome of the HDA, on the table or diagram above, Honorable Chair, we have highlighted the audit outcome over the last 3 years for HDA. In 2017 to 2018 financial year, the public entity had an unqualified opinion with findings. And then in 2018-2019, public entity had a qualified opinion with findings, and the same with the 2019-2020 financial periods. In this, we highlight that the HDA has regressed in the 2019-2020 financial period. The entity has received modification on the project receivables and project obligation, and the irregular expenditure, which is the a similar qualification that was there in 2018-2019, and lastly, the project payables. And we also had some findings on the performance information where the entity was unable to maintain a proper listing of those indicators outcome, as well as there were some compliance with some key legislation. On this, we are just highlighting the credible financial statements. The entity was able to provide us with financial statements for audit within the legislated date. And the financial statements submitted had errors. And some of the misstatements that were noted during the audit process were corrected. And those that were not corrected resulted in the modification as highlighted below, which is on the project receivables and obligation, irregular expenditure and wasteful, and then also project payables. To provide more clarity on the modification through you, Honorable Chair, the first one relating to project receivables and obligation. What we have noted is that the entity did not maintain an accurate record for these project receivables and project obligation. And this is also due to inadequate reconciliations not being done to continuously monitor these balances. And we further extended our procedures to get collaborative audit evidence from the other entities that HDA was servicing. And from the confirmations that were received, we noted that there were some with the variances that could not be explained by management. And again, there were some entities that could not provide us with confirmation. And then there was also an accounting adjustment, a financial reporting adjustment that we noted on the project obligation and receivables. And this relates to the pre-billing. So what happened is that their process allows for pre-billing. However, in terms of financial reporting, the entity did not eliminate this pre-billing, thereby realizing some assets and obligations that does not meet the required definition as per the reporting framework. And also linked to that, we also further extended our procedures to look at the obligation versus the cash holding for various bank accounts that were allocated to these provinces. And from those balances, management could not provide us with the proper explanation or valid supporting documents on those reconciling items. So the balances in their bank accounts were not clearly aligned or could not be reconciled to those relating to the project provincial obligations. And the next modification to you, Honorable Chair, it relates to irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure. This is a recurring finding from last year. With this, we are just highlighting that not all irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure has been reported in the, has been included in the financial statements. This is due to the fact that the entity did not maintain adequate system or processes to identify and record all irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure. And the last category, it was relating to the project payables. Under this, there were some clearing accounts and intercompany transfers and unknown receipts that management could not provide listings for or related supporting documents. And these clearing accounts are supposed to be having a new balance at the period end with all items, if any, remaining properly supported by relevant supporting documents. And some of the adjustments that we noted during the audit were also coming from those accounts, and the management was able to clear some of the items that were still were in those clearing accounts. And then the next focus area is the performance reporting. Under this, for this year, there was a directive to only focus on one program. And with this, we selected regional coordination and human settlement implementation support services. From our audit process, what we noted is that although the entity had listings that they were maintaining, those listings did not provide itemized details to allow for alternative procedures, especially the completeness test against the listing. And because of that, we were unable to get adequate assurance on the completeness of those indicators, and the indicators that we had challenges with were the number of human settlements units delivered or supported, the number of human settlement service sites delivered or supported, and also the number of title deeds facilitated for registration. And just to highlight, there is this modification, generally there was an improvement from the previous financial period, as some of the findings that we had raised on the lack of clear definition on some indicators, and then the evidence and the method of calculation not clearly defined, these were addressed, except for this one with regards to itemizing the listing to allow for completeness testing. Further to that, we also focused on the compliance with laws and regulation. Under this, there was a compliance finding with regards to the quality of submitted financial statements. We had noted misstatements in the financial statements that were submitted for audit. And some of these misstatements were corrected, and those that were not corrected were included in the audit report as modifications that we have highlighted. And the second area, it was on expenditure management. under this category, management did not put effective steps to prevent irregular and fruitless and wasteful expenditure from not occurring. And also, there were certain expenditure that were incurred without approved budgets. And there were some procurement and contract management findings that we addressed. And the SCM will be covered in the subsequent slides. And on the consequence management not implemented with this, we also noted that there was no consequence management that was implemented on irregular and fruitless and wasteful expenditure that were reported in the previous financial period. And also lastly, the strategic plan in the annual and the performance management. With this, we could not get evidence that indicates that the annual performance plan and the strategic plan were approved by the executive authority. And to provide some details on some of the SCM findings that we have noted, the first one, it was these are sort of like a common findings on SCM. The first one, it was on the procurement without inviting at least three minimum, the minimum prescribed written quotations from prospective suppliers. And this deviation were also, and reasons were also not provided. And then there were also some of the contracts that were extended or modified without approval of delegated officials. And this finding was also reported in the previous financial period. There were also some of the awards that were made without verifying the tax affairs of those prospective of those suppliers at appointments. And we also had findings on the commodities that are designated for local content were procured from suppliers who did not submit a declaration on local production and content as required. And the next one, it was on the bid documentation for procurement of commodity designated for local content and production. Did not stipulate the minimum threshold for local content. And the other e-compliance was on the sufficient and appropriate audit evidence that could not be obtained, that commodities for local content and production were procured from suppliers who met the minimum prescribed local content production and content as required. And also sufficient and appropriate audit evidence could also not be obtained for major infrastructure project reviewed by the Gateway team in accordance with the framework for infrastructure delivery and procurement management. And also again, there was no evidence of the Gateway review team on those major infrastructure projects. And then through you, Honorable Chair, during the audit process, we also identify a reportable irregularity. In terms of Section 4.5 of the Audit Professions Act, there is a legal requirement that auditors report without delay details of any irregularity that falls within the definition of a reportable irregularity, which may come to our attention. And we are required to report if we are satisfied or have a reason to believe that a reportable irregularity has taken place or is taking place in regard to in respect of the audit. And the APA defines an RI as an unlawful act committed by any person responsible for management of the entity, which has caused or likely to cause material financial loss to the entity, or to any partner, member, shareholder, creditor, or investor of the entity in respect of his or her or its dealings with that entity. Or another category is fraudulent or amounts to theft, or represents a material breach of fiduciary duty owed by such person to the entity or partner, member, shareholder, creditor, or investor of the entity under any law applying to the entity or conduct or management thereof. And then with that, we have a matter that we have identified view amounts to a reportable irregularity. And this reportable irregularity is more or less aligned to the material irregularity. But in this case, HDA was not scoped in for the evaluation of the material irregularity. So the content of the details was that there was a BAC report dated 1 February 2018 that approved an extension of work to the value of $40 million to construct 63 housing units. And also, again, we noted that the scope of work had the price reduced to $10 million for the same number of units. And this adjustment was not approved by the DAC. And what we noted from various communication was that only 12 houses were constructed or completed, and management could not provide us with the appropriate evidence to substantiate evidence for the delivery of the additional 51 units. And the payment of $10 million was made to the supplier. And because of that, we have reported this matter to our regulatory board, which is IRBA. Just to highlight, after the report, we had various engagement with management, and the management is undertaken to investigate this matter further and also to assess if indeed there was an overpayment which leads to fruitless and wasteful expenditure being recognized. By the time we finalized the audit, that investigation has not been finalized or has not been, yeah, but management was still investigating on that matter. And then through your chair, we have this slide that provides the status of internal controls. This has been broken down into three categories. The first one, which is leadership. The second one, financial and performance management. And then lastly, governance. And on effective leadership, under this category, we had some concerns. And on the proper record keeping, daily and monthly controls and review and monitor compliance. Under this, we have highlighted that this section requires intervention. And this is coming from the modifications that we have noted during the audit, as well as some compliance matters, which indicates the absence of adequate internal controls. And in terms of the assurance providers, there was the limited assurance that was provided by senior management, and this is due to those misstatements that we had highlighted. And then there was also some assurance that was being provided by the accounting authority, executive authority, and internal audit and audit committee. And then just to provide a snapshot on the irregular expenditure. In the year under review, the balance of irregular expenditure is sitting at 114. And for the previous financial period, it was sitting at 106 million. And on this balance, the main contributor was mainly from procurement processes and also the non-adherence to the local content requirement. And on the fruitless and wasteful, prior, it was sitting at 2 million. And the year under review, the fruitless and wasteful was sitting at 17 million. And the bulk of this is coming from an arrangement that was entered where the public entity spent money without having a proper contract signed. And then these are the root causes from our audit process or our assessment. The first one that we noted was on the slow or no response to improving key controls and addressing the risk areas. Under this, we highlight that management did not respond.
Hello. With the... How are you? I am with Nevers, coming to the boardroom.
Can I request that we mute ourselves?
Okay, and then with this, we were just highlighting that the entity did not respond with required agency to our message to address risks and also improve on internal controls. And then the second one that we note as a root cause is a slow response to consequence management. There was no investigation for irregular, fruitless, and wasteful that was done in prior year in order to take appropriate action. And this assists in setting the tone at the top regarding implications of non-compliance with the laws and regulation. And the third area, it was on the inadequate year-end close process. There was absence of clearly defined year-end closing process. This is resulted in delays in reconciling the project obligations and receivables, which resulted in material adjustments being passed in the financial statements that were submitted for audit. And then we also highlighted the instability or vacancies in key positions. With this, we have noted prolonged vacancies or acting the positions in key positions. And this it's an area that just needs to be closed as this it might also have an impact on the improvement of audit outcome. Through you, Chair, we also performed some COVID-19 procurements. Under this, there were noted instances of non-compliance with the National Treasury requirements and preferential procurement. And these findings are going to be assessed during the 2021-2022 financial period. There was also another component of this COVID procurement on performance audit that was also performed by the Auditor General, the findings of which have not been presented to management. And with this, I think it's an area that is going to be a focus area for this financial period. And then concluding the marks, we have also highlighted some recommendations to the department and also the public entity. The first one, we are highlighting that vacancies in key positions should be timelessly filled with the relevant qualified and skilled personnel. And the acting appointments should be kept as minimum as much as possible. and stability at senior management is necessary. Consequence management needs to be applied to ensure that staff complies with relevant laws and regulations. And also management should track action plans and ensure timely implementation to prevent similar findings from recurring in the upcoming financial period audit. And there should be agency by management in addressing the risk identified and also improving internal controls and finalizing the appointment of the board and ensure that it is properly constituted in line with the SDA Act. And to the portfolio committee, we are recommending that the committee should request management to provide feedback on the implementation and progress of action plans to ensure further improvement of the audit outcome, and also to monitor implementation of consequence management. The overall message, effective corrective actions to address these internal control deficiencies identified must be implemented with requisite agents, and leadership should enhance oversight and adopt a zero tolerance approach when it comes to non-compliance with laws and regulations, with focus on repeat non-compliance. And lastly, the effectiveness of the work that has been performed by various assurance providers, such as the audit committee and internal audit, has not yet yielded the desired results due to some of those controls not being implemented. And before I close, Honorable Chair, I would also like to highlight that the interim board was appointed in November. And during the period, there has been, with the agents, there has been significant improvement in terms of policy approvals. And also, they have also appointed an internal audit manager who also assists with tracking some of these items that we have highlighted. And I think those will also help in improving the performance of the public entity in the future. Thank you. I think I am now at the end of the presentation, and I'll be guided by you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Ngubane. I'm told Mr. Mlondoboz is here. Just to check if there is any other addition from yourself, from your team, before we open it for members to ask questions.
Okay, thank you. I'll just hand over to Londoloza and Benias. Any areas that you want to add to the presentation, or anything that I might have omitted in the presentation?
Good morning, Chair. Londoloza here from the AG. I think my colleague has covered everything, and therefore I don't think I've got anything to add at this point, Chair. And honorable members, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Londoboz. Honorable members, I'm now going to open it for questions, clarifications, and comments. Can I see the members raising their hands? One, we have Honorable Emma Powell. Two, Honorable Mushala. 3, Honorable Mvana. 4, Honorable Mashego. 5, Honorable Mokhotu. For now, these are the hands that have I've noted. As I've indicated, honorable members, let's proceed.
Thanks, Chairperson. This audit report is indicative of an entity that is in extreme crisis. Not only have the legally required financial control systems almost entirely failed, but the constant reshuffling of senior executives, the appointment, dissolution, reappointment of two boards, and the extensive and unparalleled degree of irregular expenditure incurred is cause for grave concern by this committee. This committee must now act in the best interests of the people of South Africa. Finally, once and for all, demanding full and proper explanations with a view to establishing full liability for the ongoing financial malfeasance that has continued unabated at this important entity for years. Prior to the start of the reporting year, the entity had twice been placed under the care of administrators. The chairperson's report in the annual report, which contains this audit report, notes that the HDA's period of administration ended at the commencement of the reporting period with the appointment of a board in April 2019 that was in office for one quarter only. This short-term period was informed by the fact that the executive authority, Minister Lindiwe Sisulu, dissolved that board in July 2019. The entity was again placed under administration in September and was without an administrator or a board between July and September. A second board was appointed in November, halfway through the financial year in question. Yet the minister's comments in opening this report noted that she was certain that the board that she appointed in November 2019 would ensure the implementation of a revised strategy and operating model to effect the necessary interventions to turn the ongoing situation at the border, at the entity around. A week ago, after the release of this audit report, the minister fired that board, which tells us that as the executive authority, the minister has in fact lost faith in the same board that she appointed. During this year, the entity had three acting CEOs, while the full-time CEO, Mr. Malloy, earned a salary of 6.5 million rand, which was increased by 2.5 million rand from the previous year. Two acting CFOs managed the entity's finances. Now, Chairperson, I just want to go back to the previous year's report. In 2018-2019, a cash deficit of 36.8 million rand was declared, in contrast to the 497 million rand in cash that the entity held. Although the agency is allowed to hold cash balances at the end of the year, Mr. Cheney, who was acting as the CEO at the time, declared that those funds had been committed to managed projects. Yet, at the end of the 2019-2020 financial year, cash reserves in this entity were sitting at a staggering 638 million rand, meaning that they weren't allocated. That's more than the entity's entire budget for the year. This means that not only did the entity's managing agents fail to take any remedial action, but the situation became worse. Surely, Chairperson, this points to willful financial negligence, which we see through the audit report, especially in light of the fact that there was no recorded consequence management taken for the previously reported irregular expenditure. More so, in the 2018-2019 report, National Treasury have instructed the entity to return part of the 2.3 billion rand cash funds that were reported in the previous year's cash balance. This followed concerns raised about excessive unused funds that had been transferred to HDA in contravention of DORA. This indicated the need for an urgent review of the agency's funding model to create one that would adequately support the strategy and ensure the long-term financial sustainability within the ambit of the HDA's mandate. Yet in 2019-2020, the year in review, yet again, the target of a funding model having been developed and approved by the board to prevent the same findings of the Auditor General was not met. Can Mr. Cheney, who's now the managing agent or the administrator of the entity, please tell the committee why this target was not met and which officials will take responsibility for, again, what appears to be a deliberate failure to institute critical remedial actions, which have now resulted in these adverse audit findings. To continue, in the 2018-2019 report, the agency's independent auditors noted a reportable irregularity relating to supply chain management and financial controls. Now, Chair, this is an unlawful act or an admission committed by any person responsible for the management of an entity, which A, has caused or is likely to cause material financial loss to the entity, B, is fraudulent or amounts to theft, C, represents a material breach of any fiduciary duty owed by such person to an entity. The report found that the agency did in fact not comply with the PSMA and its internal supply chain management policy on payments to a supplier. Payments were made to a contracted party, which based on the forensic report implicated certain executives to have acted unlawfully. Now let's move forward to this audit report for 2019-2020, which also notes yet again that there were no adequate systems for identifying irregular expenditure, payments were made against unknown receipts, overpayments were made for work not performed, work was done without agreements in place with other departments, contracts were awarded to suppliers whose tax matters had not been declared, contracts were extended or modified without the approval of a delegated official, and shockingly, financial statements were not prepared in accordance with the prescribed reporting framework. We see that 131 million rand is still recorded in irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure, which was up from 109 million rand the previous year. Now, Chairperson, this is where things get interesting. Section 65 of the Public Finance Management Act states that the executive authority responsible for a department or a public entity must table in the National Assembly the findings of a disciplinary board and any such sanctions imposed by that board which heard a case. Now, what this means is that Minister Lindiwe Sisulu is in fact required by law to inform Parliament of the findings of a disciplinary board which heard a case of financial misconduct against any accounting authority of the entity in terms of Section 81 or Section 83 of the PFMA. It's clear from this audit report before the committee today that the HDA's executive management and board may in fact be liable for gross financial negligence, yet this committee has not heard any evidence of consequence management for previous financial years, and as has been identified by the external auditors, they were unable to obtain any evidence of consequence management. Now, Chairperson, my letter addressed to you on the 12th of February requesting an inquiry was not even acknowledged. We're not pulling ideas out of a lucky packet here in committee in terms of how we conduct our business. We have certain obligations in law. The minister needs to be called before this committee, along with the accounting authority, which would now be the administrator of the board, to explain what consequence management was taken in terms of the audit report of 2018-2019 and now of 2019-2020. What's worse is that even in light of this criminal negligence, the disclaimer and the rank failure, it is at this entity on our earning up to 2.8 million rand each, while the CEO was given a 2.25 million rand salary. That is extortion, and those salaries were in fact approved by the minister. On what basis? Chair, in concluding, I have got three recommendations to put to this committee. I have, in my capacity as a member of parliament, Department already referred this report to the Auditor General for special investigation in terms of Section 5B of the Public Audit Act, but I believe that in the interest of good governance, this committee should make further representations towards a full special audit and investigation. Then, in line with the provisions of the PFMA, Minister Sisulu must be summoned to this committee to present the full detail of all disciplinary processes arising from what we see is repeated irregular expenditure incurred by this failed entity, as well as a rank failure around financial reporting controls and mechanism. And then thirdly and lastly, that a full inquiry is held into the actions of both the executive authority, meaning the minister herself, and the accounting authority, which would be the board or the administrators, from the start of the 2018 financial year to date. I will follow these recommendations up, Chairperson, with a letter, which I would, in the interest of just good basic manners, request that you acknowledge. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Powell. Though today we're dealing, we have agreed with the agenda that we're interacting with the Auditor General. It's fine. You can do those circumstances.
Chairperson,
he's gone.
Just move towards the door, Chairperson. We can't hear you.
Now, that we are speaking to the auditors, come and present, which minister will be, can we then?
Hello? Honorable members?
Your network is very bad.
We lost you a big deal, Chair, but let's continue because we, you're there. We can hear you.
No, I'm saying that the agenda that we have adopted ourselves, honorable members, was that we are interacting with the auditors and then the agency and the department would come and actually present the annual report to members, and members will interact with the annual report at that time. So can we then proceed to Honorable Mosala?
Thanks so much, Chairperson. Am I audible?
Yes, Honorable.
Okay, no. Thanks so much, Chairperson. We are really very disappointed about the Housing Development Agency. Anyhow, we saw, even during the time of COVID-19, the houses they built for the people, the shacks, that there is something wrong there. But anyhow, today we've been proven, because questions were being asked in this portfolio committee about what is happening there, but we did not get answers by that time. So this report today from the Auditor General, it is evident that there's problems in the housing development agencies. Chairperson, we have learned a lot of things today, and what we have learned proves that we don't have an institution. That entity doesn't exist. An entity with no adequate systems in place to identify and record all irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure. An entity which does not have which have no adherence on PFMA, and an entity with which is incurring expenditure without an approved budget. They are failing to maintain proper accounting principle. their financial statement was not prepared in accordance with the prescribed financial reporting framework. There is no consequence management. There is no evidence obtained by the auditors on whether there were steps taken against officials who incurred this irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure. We have also learned that the bid adjudication committee was not composed in accordance with the policies of the public entity. Chairperson, with all being said, I do understand that today we are not dealing with the department and we are not dealing with the HDA per se. We are talking to the Auditor General. We are engaging to the report of the Auditor General. So my questions will be directed straight to the Auditor General. The first question is, in terms of the amendments to the Audit Act, in this financial year, can we please be given a quick overview of what constitutes remedial action in any kind of transgression? And can the Auditor General also brief us in terms of the performance bonuses for the year under review? Did the officials of this entity receive any performance bonuses? Chairperson, the other thing that I want to bring on board is the issue of the interim board members. It's a problem and it doesn't necessarily create stability that is required to undertake the work of the entity. So can the minister going forward try by all means that he appoint permanent boards so that they can be able to do their work as it is required. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mosala. Honorable Mashego.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Those that have spoken, can you lower your hand, Honorable Members? Honorable Mashego.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you very much. Good morning. I do think that because we are in a committee of parliament, we need to discuss matters that were officially presented to ourselves by an authority authorized to do so and react to those adequately. I will hasten to want to engage on things that are not necessarily presented to us. For instance, we have not heard the department presenting as to whether are there consequence management on this issue that the auditor is asking. If it is, what is it? And we might then ask when that presentation is made as to why this, why not that. So I'm sure we will be prematurely resolving to put aspersions on the failure by the department to have acted when they have not given an annual report thus far. And I want to be happy with the qualification by Honorable Mosala, because she is saying whatever she's putting, it is for the year under review. And under review means what this report is meant for, which is 2019-2020, because once it would jump to 2020-2021, it's no longer under review, it is something different. But I think Member Mosala is qualifying it very nice. With that in question, Chair, I do agree with Member Mosala that, look, under normal circumstances, with the report given to us today, there is a crisis in the HDA. Crisis of the highest proportion. I mean, they are failing on any material fact, on any matter that an entity or a department for that matter must do. I mean, honestly, Chairperson, the HDA I would not understand if when the HDA is going to present to us or the department is going to present to us later, if they are still going to present, present to us that board is still in a board, that CEO is still a CEO, that CFO is still a CFO. If they can tell us that, then I will agree with the member Powell that we need even to call for somebody to come and account. But once we are given the report and we are told that something has happened for consequence management on the behavior of HDA in the year under review, maybe one might change and say something different. But using the press, the presentation as presented by Mr. Govani and the team, HDA is a dead body walking. And not only a dead body walking chair, they are, to me, they acquire money, they spend the money, they can't show what they spend money on. And they declare that there is money remaining in the account. When the auditors want to know where is the money, that money can't be shown. Clearly, even a blind person can see that there is something wrong here, or a thief can hear that there is something wrong here. And the auditor general, I mean, the auditing committee is honest to ourselves to tell us that no, we are actually riding a dead horse. I'm interested to get to hear the presentation of the department at the HDA when they come, who must answer these consequential matters that the auditing committee and the auditor general is raising. But even those that Member Masala and Member Paul are raising, and the one I'm raising now, because it must be answered in a manner that it satisfies the fact that the auditing committee says that if once they find that there is a reportable matter, it means that somebody must have acted on that reportable matter. Is there an action that is going to be taking place or that has taken place thus far? If yes, what is it and what is the time frame and so forth and so on? But because, Chair, we have not heard the presentation of the committee officially, we must get the official president of the committee without getting the hearsay in the corners and making a statement out of them, because the statement you are making is that there is already a declared thing that you might want to act, which are not presented to the committee. I hope that we will wait, that presentation is made, and upon the presentation being made, we can then make assertions on the matter that we need to move forward. But I concur with Member Masala. This HDA, as it stands in the audit, it can't exist. It's not gonna take our money anywhere near fruitless. It will never give us anything conducive of any representative of government. But I want to run short of recommending that the minister must do certain things and not do certain, because I'm still awaiting them to come and present to the committee that which they are doing in response to the auditing committee report. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Mokoto. Honorable Mbana, sorry. Yes, Honorable Mbana and
okay,
Honorable Fotul follow.
Thanks, Chair. Good morning, everyone. Chair, we are really in an embarrassment about this report. But what I don't want to make a mistake is to put the cart before the horses. We are still awaiting for the HDA to present to us. But the unfortunate part is that we are get tempted to get into the HDA report. Let us commend the Auditor General for doing their work. I think what they have picked up is what we have already picked up in some of the way on how things are happening.
in the HDA. This is really, Auditor General, a disastrous report. But we can't throw it out. Let's wait for them to present themselves to us. All these questions that the other members have said, I think are relevant, but we should wait for the time to ask from them. You have given us the line of march, and you have shown us on how the things have happened, as well with the wasteful expenditure and fruitless expenditure. It's just unacceptable. Chairperson, I don't know what to say, but let's commend the Auditor General for great work that they have done and wait for the report. I don't want to waste their time. Thank you ever so much.
Honorable Mokgotsu.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Dumela Mokgotsu.
Dumela. Honorable, I would like to applaud the good work done by the auditors. And then I would want to ask them the following questions. First, I'll start by making a comment based on their presentation. According to the audit report of the financial years 2018-2019, and 2019 to 2020, the HDA did not comply with the PFMA and SCM. As a result, they received qualified financial report with findings. When you provided them with the qualified report of 2019 to 2020, what was their response for not applying the recommendations provided to them in the previous financial year 2018 to 2019? And then the next one is, what was the response of the Department of Human Settlement after you made them aware that HDA has regressed post 2018-2019 audit when you presented the report to them? According to your opinion, was the HDA board fit to hold office and manage the finances of HDA? Were the minister and the Department of Human Settlement doing effective and timeless oversight? That is after you have finished or completed auditing of the financial statements of HDA. Has the minister and the Department of Human Settlement done justice to the South African citizens or taxpayers by not taking serious your recommendations, by allowing the HDA board responsible for fruitless, wasteful, irregular expenditure which occurred during the past two financial years to squander money, which was supposed to deliver services to the poor people of South Africa?
Honorable Chairperson. Thank you very much, Honorable Mokgotsu. Honorable Tseki, please allow members to speak without us calling order. We're talking to the Auditor General. Let's allow them to do that. Honorable,
I like it. You actually saying let's allow them to go out of order.
No, Chef, I've never said out of order, Honorable Zeki. You are out of order. Honorable Sekwai.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Morning, the members and yourself and the department, the DMs, the ministers, if they are present here. I just want to commend the Auditor General's office
when we talk about a profession, I think even the HDA and the officials present had, when we talk about a profession to a government institution, very clear presentation, very clear recommendation, no doubts about its credibility on how to do things. I really appreciate the presentation from the Auditor General, Mr. Ngubane. And I think the Auditor General, perhaps even if they won't come back to us, they have had issues that...
Honorable members, Mr. Ngubane is not Auditor General. So these are private auditors. Yes.
Okay.
But we have representative of Auditor General. So okay. That will become very clear in communicating our message.
Okay. Thank you, Ted. Point taken to business. That they have listened on issues that they didn't report to us, that are coming from other members that we do not know, that are not in front of us. Till now, we're still waiting for the process of Parliament where we'll be getting a report of the department and then we deal with the issues. Thank you very much for this preemptive presentation, Chairperson Oba, the audit report. This, to me, is very serious. And it's saying something about the committee and how we as individual members of the committee behave, bringing gossip. I call it gossip because it's not here. And we're waiting seriously about the report that are going to get to the department. And then we deal with it as it comes. Credible report, not from a gossip. We have listened very clear, Chair, on the mandate that you presented to us in terms of the procedure of the report. And I think that one is in good order. I don't understand, Chair, that no one would say this report is acceptable. This is a crisis report. And it helps us. It helps even the officials. It helps even the present board of HTA. That is this the government that we want? Because there are pieces of legislation, how you should deal with the issues, how you should deal with your own capacity. This is very, very worrying. It's very, very worrying. But I want to await a process where we will listen to the report of the department and we look on it with the audit report. And also check where we will agree on the action plan that would need to deal with the issues raised by the audit committee, and also in tandem with the report that you are going to get from the department. And we need to show very clear understanding of what is our role in the committee within the department so that we deal with the issue. The action plan, we should make sure that the action plan talk to us. The issues of recommendations that have been submitted by the honorable member as an individual, perhaps we need to be told, how does that happen? When the committee has not sat, when the committee has not dealt with information, there are recommendations that have gone. That is why there's a parliament with the law, is to be able to control those that have got some 330 knowledge to lead us today. Can we wait patiently for the report of the department? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Sesuai, Honorable Teki. Honorable Teki.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chairperson, it's difficult for me to welcome the presentation from the auditors. One, I think the first two slides, they are talking about qualified disclaimer and adverse with findings. It's automatic that those three legs of audit will have findings. So that point to me, it raised eyebrows. Secondly, the Auditor General present, to me it was like I'm in a workshop, because they are telling me or telling us on all those various findings, but they are not putting them on the table. The only example is on that reported case of 10 million scope of work. That's the only example. But again, it's that example is in his report, not on the presentation. So, Chair, it's quite prudent that when you say you have got findings to someone, you don't put that separately from to another paper. It must be inclusive in your report. So for those two reasons, I find it difficult for me to appreciate the work that they have done in the face of what I've received. But I think Comrade Mashiko has covered me very well in terms of the way forward, and also advising Member Mokgotu and Member Powell. Member Mokgotu, the department, I mean the Auditor General cannot respond on behalf of the department.
No, no, Honorable Teki, you are yes, not ma'am. Auditor General. Auditor General will talk to...
Sorry for me to say Auditor General. The auditors, sorry.
Auditors will allow auditors to speak to the what members have asked them. If it's not within their hands, they will actually they will indicate. Let's not...
The problem with Peggy is playing a man, not a ball.
Okay.
So can we allow... Honorable Mutlala, please.
Okay. Yes. Let me take your advice, Chair. Let's allow them to say anything.
To respond,
Even if it's okay. The last point, Chair, is on Member Powell. That's where I was. Member of Powell, Chair, I think we need to advise her. Not to be emotional.
No, Honorable Say.
I'm now dealing with Member
Honorable
Powell.
Say.
I don't have to do that.
You are out of order, Honorable Sek. You are not here to address members of Parliament yet. You are supposed to address the presentation.
Okay, thank you, Chair.
You are out of order. You always do it and you do it on purpose.
Honorable,
it's okay, Chair. Allow it to go, Chair.
No. Honorable members, speak without talking to members. They don't need your advice. If they needed your advice, they would ask you, Honorable Sik. So allow them to speak so that this meeting we can then proceed without disturbance, Honorable Sik. So leave the questions that you are asking or we are interacting with the audit report of Mr. Ngubane and in the presence of of the Auditor General is here to listen to the interaction and with these auditors. So let's allow the process to unfold like that, and the auditor would actually respond to those that belongs to her. Those that belongs to him. Those that doesn't belongs to him. Department is here, they are recording. At the time we're going to meet with them, because today we have agreed that we are not taking department. They will then engage and respond to those questions. So let's leave it at that, honorable members.
Chair, thank you. Thanks for recognizing me. I won't be long. I just wanted to clarify, Chair. So when I referred to the provisions of the Public Finance Management Act,
Honorable Powell, now you are out of order too, because I don't want the clarities. You have talked to the auditors. They are going to respond to you. We don't need those clarities, because if you are no
presentation of what I've said,
Honorable Powell,
consequence management for the previous
Honorable Powell
still not seen.
Honorable Powell, we are talking to the auditors. They've presented the report to us. That's why I'm calling Honorable Zeki to order to say that you must not actually talk about what you have said, because you are talking to auditors that are here in terms of the agenda. I want us to focus on the agenda, and I know that we are eager to interact with the department, because of the report is not right, as honorable members have said. So you don't have to clarify. They would actually request you clarity if they didn't hear you.
Okay,
so can we proceed?
Noted. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't see any other hands. Just to add on the question of honorable members, Mr. Ngubane, one that you have
Mr. Chapanduka.
Yeah.
It's Mr. Chapanduka.
Chapanduka.
Oh. Yes. Of Ngubane.
From Ngubane. Auditor. Mr. Chanduga.
Chapanduka.
Oh, Chapanduga.
Yes.
Yes. Let's take this join members to welcome your audit report. Some few questions that you have audited the department 2017-18, which they got unqualified, and then 2018-19 qualified, and again qualified. In your view, as you have mentioned the issues here, what is the reason of the HDA in terms of them not responding to management letters that you sent to them, and what is the reason that they are giving in terms of them not addressing all the issues that you have raised, and even reaching the level of regression? Secondly, are you interacting with the entity only towards annually, or you have session like the Auditor General usually interact with departments or any structures that they audit in 3 months, checking issues that were raised, whether they have been attended to, and so forth. So have you interacted with the HDA on issues that were raised and what was the reason for them not implementing those management letters or the findings by yourselves. And because you have audited them from 2017-18 where they had the qualified report, what do you think, what went wrong in the process? Can we then allow you to respond to the question?
My apologies, I was on mute. Through you, Honorable Chair, firstly, I would like to thank you for giving us this platform to interact with you and other honorable members. We also appreciate the positive comments that has been shared by other members, honorable members. And again, I would like to also propose that the matters relating to the department, those should be at least the department will be in a better position to respond to those matters. I would just try to cover some of the questions that we asked, and if there are any questions that I might have missed, my team will also be in a position to also assist. I'll start by the questions that were raised by Honorable Motlala with regards to the APA remedial action. Currently, HDA has not been phased in on the requirements for the PAA Act, and as a result, some of the remedial actions that are proposed are not applicable for the period under review. And on the next matter with regards to the performance bonus on the leadership during the period under review, from the audit that we had performed, there were no performance bonuses that were paid out during the period under audit. And this is also highlighted, I think, in the financial statements. And there were also some questions that were also asked on the HDA inability to action some of the recommendations. And with regards to that, from various interactions that we have done with the HDA Act, based on the previous report that we had issued, there was an initiative that was done by management where some of those findings that we had listed were being tracked on. And by the time the audit commences, not all matters were addressed. And with regards to some of the reasons, I think as part of my presentation based on the professional judgment, there has been some changes in leadership, and these changes to a certain extent delays the implementation or monitoring of some of the action items, because as the new leadership comes in, they will take time to understand the operations and then also focus on these action items. And as part of that, our recommendation, which is just a professional recommendation, is that there should be some stability in terms of permanent appointment of the board and also of some of the key positions rather than acting positions, and that will help in setting up the tone at the top. And then there were also matters that were raised with regards to why HDA is taking long to address some of the modification, and also some of the reasons with regards to the regression. As highlighted in our recommendation, there are certain controls that needs to be in place, and these controls needs regular monitor. Some of them needs regular monitoring, and this includes performance of reconciliations, and also ensuring that timers processing of financial information is done. And during the audit process, I think as part of the implementation of our finding in the 2018-2019 financial period, the entity during the middle of the financial period reconfigured their accounting system. And as such, it was a process that was not effectively implemented. And this contributed to some deficiencies that were noted, like difficulties in reconciling because of how the information was configured. And that also resulted in some gaps being created, resulting in inadequate monitoring of controls. And with all those matters that we highlighted from the interaction that we had, one of the action that took place when the new board that was appointed in November 2018 implemented was that they immediately appointed an audit, internal auditor, who was going to be responsible for monitoring the implementation of action item and also tracking those action items. And that person also assisted, will also be assisting with actual verification of the implementation. And that will now also potentially contribute to future positive income and also accurate information being available to those that make valid decisions. And then when we presented our audit report, one of the key issues that was also highlighted in that meeting at the audit committee and the board was that based on these findings, there was need for a controls evaluation workshop, and also to ensure that policies are also effectively communicated to individuals, and responsibilities are clearly defined and utilized in performance management. And this was something that was planned, and the intention from that meeting was that it to also include the management members of the audit committee and the board, and it was going to stretch over a period of time. In terms of whether that was implemented, it was something that happened, that might have happened after our audit report, but based on the interaction, there was a clear message from the audit committee and also the board that some of these matters can easily be implemented by ensuring that everyone understands the controls and the monitoring mechanisms implemented. And another item last year's made And there were some meetings again that we're going to be scheduled where we'll also have a closed session again with the audit committee and interact with them and also emphasizing on some of the recommendations and ensure that those are implemented. And subsequent to reporting period, we had various interactions again with the CFO and his team with regards to how some of these findings can be addressed, which includes, among others, the one that relating to the irregular expenditure. One of the reasons was that the methodology or approach that they implemented in ensuring completeness of those matters from the 2018-19 audit was not sufficient, and this came out based on the outcome from the audit. And as such, there was another meeting subsequent to audit where the CFO and his team requested for better clarity and also advice on the whether the methodology that they'll be implementing would be sufficient or not. And we also participated in providing such interaction and hopefully with those recommendations and the ability to track some of those matters, they should be in a position to address some of the matters that we addressed. But that will also need to take into consideration some of our professional recommendations that we had put in the report. I think I hope I have responded to all the questions, Honorable Chair, and if there are some that I might have omitted, probably my team will also assist, and then I hope that would be appropriate.
Thank you.
Chairperson, we can't hear you. So I'm
saying we welcome the response from the auditors. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Can we then allow if there is any addition from their team?
Good morning, Honorable Chair. Good morning, Honorable Members. My name is Daniel Dio. I work for Ngubane & Company, and I worked on the audit with Edwin. I think Mr. Chapanduka has covered the areas that I had also made notes. So I don't have any other additions to make on this. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Honorable Members. Those are the response from the auditors. Can I have, if there are follow-up questions from members?
Yes, Honorable Powell, may I?
Yes, Honorable
Thank
Powell.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for the responses. Just three things. Sir, you noted at the start of your responses that some of the remedial actions provided for in terms of the Public Audit Act of 2018 may not be applicable for the period under review. Now, to my knowledge, the Public Audit Act of 2018 came into effect on the 1st of April 2019, which would have been the first day of the financial year for the period under review. So could you just clarify exactly what you meant by the Public Audit Act's provisions or the remedial action that it provides for potentially not being applicable for the year under review? Then you noted that no performance bonuses were paid. Now, on page 83 of the report, it is noted in the provisional statement that an amount that I think is 4.3 million rand was paid in performance rewards. So can you just clarify your statement that no performance rewards / bonuses, semantics, were paid, please? The report does note that on page 83. In terms of consequence management, the board was obviously appointed in November 2019, which was halfway through the financial year. And you detail a number of discussions with the board in terms of consequence management. Can you please tell us or just explain to the committee that board has now been disbanded? We know, you know, Minister had hired a CFO, then fired a CFO, then the board had hired the CEO back, and in response, the Minister disbanded the board last week. How will a board that has been disbanded continue to be responsible for consequence management? And in the absence of the board, who would it be then that would be the ultimate authority for consequence management? Would it be the minister as the executive authority, or would it be the administrator who is taking over the role and the duty of the accounting authority, which is the board? And then lastly, it's pretty much the same question, but you note that meetings in terms of consequence management had been scheduled with the audit committee, and subsequent to this, you had a number of engagements with the CFO. There'd been a whole bunch of different acting CFOs, and then Brian Mosela most recently. Which CEO, or was it a whole bunch of different CFOs that you had engagements with? And now that the CFO has been terminated, or his tenure has been terminated, or was supposed to end in May, it's been terminated at the end of January by the minister. Who is ultimately the authority in terms of the CFO that would be responsible for carrying out the undertakings made in discussions with prior CFOs? It seems, also that one of the big problems that this entity is facing is this continual reshuffling, restacking. Someone's hired, someone's fired. You know, in terms of continuity, who are you as the external auditor dealing with? Who is providing you with continuity in terms of agreements that have been undertaken in your engagements and then carrying out those, making sure that those are implemented? I can imagine it must be quite difficult in such a tumultuous environment. Thank you, Chairperson.
Through you, Honourable, through Honourable Chair.
Mr. Shandupani. Let's get if there's no any other hands, so that when you respond to all the hands. There is Honourable Seiki. There is Honorable Moshala. There is Honorable Masheho.
No, Chair, mine is, I just forgot to withdraw it that time.
Okay. Honorable Moshala. Honorable Moshala. We've lost her. Honorable Moshala. Honorable Moshala.
Oh, thanks so much, Chairperson. No, I'm struggling here. But can Honorable Mashiru come first and then I'll come after him?
No, Honorable
Moshala.
I'm still disorganized
here.
No, Honorable Moshala. It doesn't work like that. You have raised the hand first. Proceed.
No, I said, can Mashiru come first? I'll come after him, Chairperson.
No, Honorable
Moshala. I'm trying to reorganize myself. What is the problem of reorganizing myself if I'm not organized now? I'm saying,
Honorable Moshala.
That.
Honorable Moshala, no. No, cannot do like
that.
Speak, Honorable Moshala.
No, but there's no problem. But Chairperson, yes. No, my concern was on the issue of the 83 million. I think it's 43 million that Honorable, 4.3 million paid in performance rewards that Honorable Powell was speaking about. The independent auditor was telling us now that he did not... So anything, can he please explain himself in terms of that? Because the report says that there was a report, on the report notes, 4.3 million paid in performance rewards. And the other thing, I really don't understand. The fact that the HDA is not here, the Auditor General can still respond on some other issues because he was the one who was auditing the report. Not to say that some of the issues are related for the Portfolio Committee of Human Settlement. I can't respond. They will come and respond. Respond when it's possible and leave what you can't respond to. What I want to is just that my work is gone here on the system. But anyhow, it's fine. Let me stop there. Thank you.
Honorable Mashiro. Honorable Mashiro.
Thanks, Chairperson. Thank you very much. Mine was just to want to warn the auditors not to overreach and want to speak on behalf of the department. Because when the department come and present and they present something different from what they will be said on behalf of them, we will hold them liable for having misled the committee. Whilst that was not the intention, they were trying to help. But the possibility exists that the department can come and refute some of the things that the auditors could have said. And because it will be said officially in the committee, it will be subject or tantamount to them having misled us to believe in a certain way. And I take the point that they must not necessarily over-centralize their report, but they must also not overreach, because things that are for department, they must leave it for the department. Things that are for them, they must say. They must never want to represent the committee because they have got no mandate to do so. I just wanted to warn that chair, but otherwise I don't have a question for them.
Why do we preempt that the auditors is the one that
you didn't have any question?
Preempt
that the auditors will be misleading. Why we don't say maybe the department is the one that will be misleading?
Moshale, you didn't.
No.
Already started asking them to do that when I'm.
Oh, don't. You must not get people here. They must respond to what they know.
Honorable Mfala.
I don't think that.
It's not Honorable Mfala only who's speaking. Even Honorable.
Honorable Mashiru, allow the auditors to respond what they can respond.
What must I do? But I don't hold people in, when they talk. I don't.
Yes, that's why I'm saying, honorable and members, because I've protected you when other members wanted to interact with yourself. Please help me to chair this meeting, because if you want to have your interaction, it will not be the committee meeting. You should have it outside this meeting. I don't want people to come and say we've been removed because we are dealing with auditors. So let's give auditors.
No, it was just a point of order, Chairperson.
I've rejected point of orders, honourable members. That
yeah, but
members,
I'm saying it was just a point of order. We're not intercepting him. Just a point of order to say that he
must
not.
But I've not noted you, honourable.
The auditors must allow the auditors to speak. Thank you,
honourable Mashala. I've not noted you. Please allow the Mr. The auditors to respond to the question. You're welcome, Chair, to respond.
Through you, Honorable Chair, and the Honorable Members, to cover the matter that I had highlighted on the bonus. The bonus of 4.something million was for the, it was relating to the performance in the 2019 financial period, and the payment thereof was relating to the bonus paid to the employees, and a component of which of amounting to 2 million being the bonus that was relating to the executive management and also EXCO members, which was paid, I think it should be subsequent to the reporting period, but it's something that I can just confirm with our working papers. And then in terms of the meetings that we had meetings with the CFO then, was Brian. And we understand that recently there has been some changes with regards to the senior leadership at HDA. We haven't had interaction with the HDA after those announced changes. And for now, it's difficult to indicate the current process that the entity is following with regards to consequence in management based on the matters that we had raised in our audit that is just finished. And I would like to believe that in the previous period, there was some work that was also allocated to internal auditors with regards to evaluating some of the initiatives that had been raised irregular expenditure as part of the process to assess if action can be taken. And the issues of consequence management, currently there has been an administrator who has been recently appointed. For now, we do not know the scope and the focus of work that the administrator would be covering. But I just hope that that focus will also include issues of consequence management and also to ensure that the work that might have been started by the previous leadership is implemented. I don't know if there is anything that I might have missed from my colleagues with regards to the questions that have been raised.
Chairperson, it's Honorable Powell.
Chairperson, I think the follow-up on member Powell is correct, Chair. The PAA amendments came into effect on the 1st of April 2019. However, as an office of the AG, we are implementing those changes on a phased-in approach, Chair. So for the year under review, there was 89 audits in which were selected to implement what we refer to as phase two of the PAA. And unfortunately, HDA is not one of those. So from the human settlement portfolio point of view, in that 89, you've got NHPRC and the 9 provincial departments, which were then selected to form part of the phase two implementation of the PAA amendments, Chairperson. That's what my colleague meant by saying, the PAA was not applicable to HDA. It's because of that phased-in approach. But if you look at the presentation, there is feedback on reportable irregularity, Chairperson and Honourable Member, which in the absence of the implementation of the material irregularity, then the reportable irregularity similar matters that are raised. So similar matters would have been raised as material or possible material irregularities if HDA was implementing audits for the phase two approach. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Honorable Member. I hope that question has been answered.
Thank you, Talondo Lozi. Maybe just to check, in view of the financial status that we found ourselves with this entity, is it late for Auditor General to include the entity and take this entity as audit it so that other measures can then be able to be implemented as we move forward, Mr. Londobozi.
Thank you, Chairperson. So usually we do this process right at the beginning of our planning processes during an audit cycle. So unfortunately for the 2020-21 audit cycle, the audits have already been selected And again, HDA has not been. But I think based on the late completion of this particular audit and the fact that the audit outcomes are only coming out now in March, Chairperson, I think it will then have to be considered for the 2021-22 audit cycle. So when we as the office start our planning processes, then this audit then will then have to be considered, Chairperson. So for the 2020-21, that process was already undertaken last year already towards the end of the year. And again, HDA was not one of those that would have been considered. Also, I think at the time, the audit had not been completed, Chairperson. But I take the point that it should be considered going forward. Assuming of course that in the next audit cycle, the PAA is not implemented in all of our audits. So there's also that possibility that going forward, we might have to implement in all of the audits and not select a few. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Mr. Londomozi, for the fact that you have this financial status of HDA. I think it will be worth it for Auditor General to look at this request, so that I know that it's late, but even if you are not part of, you can then be able to advise, because one of the reasons that I know is that you can still advise in terms of how the process should be taken forward. Mr. Londobozi?
Noted, Chairperson. No, noted, Honorable Sir. Thank you very much. That comment.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Londobozi. Do we have any other issue members?
Chairperson, it's Honorable Powell.
Honorable Powell, you're welcome.
Two things, I'll be quick. I just want to go back to the performance bonuses. The external auditor that's briefing this committee in Parliament today made a decisive statement that is obviously recorded that no performance bonuses were paid for the year under review. Now, when both myself and Member Mashlala raised this, given the contents of the actual report, it is my assumption that the feedback from the external auditor was somewhat obscure, in that there was in fact performance bonuses paid out, but he'll check the amounts. How can this committee have an external auditor that can place on record in Parliament that no performance bonuses were paid out, to then be corrected by members to have to say that they'll go back and check? Is that grounds for referral to the Auditor General? That can we please get an explanation about what's going on? Because that's a material misstatement made before Parliament. I don't want to be belchy, but it's important that this committee gets the right information, because if incorrect information is given on one matter, how sure can we be that incorrect information is not given on another matter? And then secondly, in terms of my recommendation as a permanent member of this committee to the committee to refer this external audit to the Auditor General in terms of Section 5D of the Public Audit Act, which came into effect on the 1st of April 2019. The legal advice that I have been given, and I'd like clarification on this, is that the remedial action provided for in that provision of the legislation in terms of requesting an investigation and a special audit does not form part of the phased-in approach of the automatic audit of these entities, right? So the question that I have for final clarity is there any phased-in approach or proviso that would prevent this committee as a recommendation from referring the external audit to the Auditor General for a special investigation in terms of Section 5D. Is that are we prevented from doing that in terms of this phased-in approach? Because my understanding is that that provision exists as a standalone remedial action available to pretty much anybody who would like to refer the matter. Chairperson, these are matters of grave concern that I hope that we can get on record responses to in this committee. Thank you.
Whom are you asking, Honourable Member? Auditor General. Auditor General.
Sorry, Chairperson. Yes, I'm asking for advice on the second question from the representative from the Office of the Auditor General, and I'm asking the external auditor, well, I'm giving the external auditor final opportunity to provide clarity to this committee around the misstatement made that no performance rewards or bonuses were paid, which is the statement that was made. Thank you.
Okay. Honourable Powell, the external auditors, they said they are going to look at that and they will respond to that matter. And the issue that I've just even raised it with the Auditor General, just to say, and they've said they've noted the issue, the Auditor General is going to look at it, how they can then put the HDA as part of their audit, looking at the financial challenges that is faced by the HDA. So maybe let me allow Mr. Londolozi just to repeat what he said when I was asking the same. Mr. Londolozi.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, and thank you, Member Power. I think in terms of including HDA as part of the phase two, phasing in approach for PAA, I will take that back to the office and see if the processes will still allow for it in this particular audit cycle, Chairperson. And then maybe feedback can then be provided to the committee. And in terms of writing to the AG, with the grievance in terms of the auditors, there's generally nothing wrong with that approach, Chairperson. So if the portfolio committee, feels there's a need to bring to the attention of the Auditor General, we don't generally frown upon that. So it will be looked into and a response will then be provided. So a communication can be written to the Office of the Auditor General. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Chairperson.
Honorable Masala.
Yeah, my hand was up a long time ago, but you did not, I think, recognize me. Chairperson, can Mr. Chabanduka, the one that was presenting to us and said that there's no performance bonus, respond to this committee? Why, when she's being asked again, she said now that there is a performance bonus. Can she respond why in the first instance she said that there's no performance bonus? Where did she get that information? Why he did not say that, I'm not sure. I will come back to you in the nearer future, or whether tomorrow when we are dealing with HDA and the department. Where did he get this thing that there is no performance bonus when there is a performance bonus of 4.3? I'm afraid the report that we got from this auditor, maybe there's a lot of things that are incorrect from him. So can you please clarify from us, where did he get that there is no performance bonus? Thank you.
Mr. Auditor, respond.
Forget me.
Honorable Mashiru, Before you respond, Auditor Honorable Mashego, raise the hand. Honorable Mashego.
Thanks, Chair. Earlier on, I did say, and I was warned that I am putting the cart before the horse. Official meeting can be
on somebody else.
Honorable Mashego,
Honorable Mashego, we've missed the...
We didn't hear you,
Honorable Mashego. Honorable Mashego, your network is very bad. Can you repeat?
Yes.
That, yes, you can repeat. Yes. Now we can hear you.
Oh.
Yes, proceed, Honorable Mashego. Honorable Mashego. Disconnected. Can you unmute Honorable Mashego? We've lost him. Yes, can we have the auditor to respond to what to Honorable Mashala?
Thank you, through you, Chair. Firstly, I would apologize for that misunderstanding with regards to the question that was posed. I think with regards to the matter of performance bonus, my inability to understand clearly the question. The payment to leadership was done after the period end, and the other component it relates to the category of employees. But I think as I violated, I apologize if on that matter, and I highlighted to say further clarity with regards to the matters and the amounts. I think I can provide them subsequently.
So can we request that you send that in writing to the committee auditor?
Yes, Honorable Chair, I will respond that in writing to the committee.
Okay, thank you very much.
Chairperson, we can't hear you.
Yes, I can't see any other hands, and I want to take to the opportunity.
Honourable Powell, I have a request to the committee, please, before we conclude.
No, Honourable Member, was not finished to discuss the matter of we're still going to listen to the department. Can we now interacting with
over.
We're interacting with the auditor And then we can then, as we interacted with the department, then members will then have ample time to interact with the report and make their observation and findings.
Chairperson, and this relates to the audit report, not the annual report, not regards to the department. This is regarding this report that is before the committee today. That is what I'd like to speak on.
Okay. All right.
I do understand in the context, I do certainly take the point that a fuller analysis is required in terms of receiving the annual report from the department, but I would like to understand whether or not this committee in this session has got any specific recommendations in terms of the audit report that is before us that is separate to the annual report, because remedial actions in respect of the audit report differ to remedial actions in respect of the annual report. And if we are concluding on the audit report in this committee, then I would like to request whether or not there are any recommendations of this committee in respect of that audit report. I also would like to place on record that whilst mistakes do happen and material misstatements sometimes are made in error, it is of grave concern to me that such a specific misstatement could be made by this external auditor only to be corrected by MPs in the committee who have actually read their documentation. Because as Honourable Mashlala has said, that really does point to potentially putting the entire audit in question, because this mistake was not picked up by the external auditor presenting today. It was in fact picked up by opposition MPs in committee, and it really does signal a question in terms of the whole report. So I would just like that to be please placed on record as a grave concern in terms of the information before us today. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Powell. Any other hands, Honourable Members? Mr. Chandunga, do you want to say something on what the Honourable Member said?
Thank you, through you, Honorable Chair. I think I understand the concern, and I would like to apologize for that the matter, and I hope it's something that the committee will also understand, and also to just highlight that we have tried to ensure that our audit process is performed with the great care, and also various quality control interventions were implemented. But in this case, I would like to extend my apology to the committee and also Honorable.
Thank you. Thank you very much, auditor. I'm saying auditor because I'm struggling to pronounce the surname. And Honorable Mashlala, you want to?
Yeah,
I don't see the hand.
But
you have not raised your hand. You have not raised your hand, Honorable Member.
It's up now.
Yes. Okay.
So tomorrow we are engaging HDA. Is the
not tomorrow, Honourable Member. The time that will be allocated. The time that will be allocated, we're not sure. But it will be within this 2 years.
Okay, so are you going to arrange with the auditors to be here as well? Because I'm afraid we will be faced with, we'll be in a situation where the information that we got from the auditors doesn't correspond with the information from the HDA. So that they can clarify themselves here, since we have so now with the issue of performance bonuses, Chairperson. Are you going to arrange with these auditors to be here so that we can have
you can make that request, Honorable Member?
I'm making the request.
Okay. Mr. Auditor and the team, I think even Auditor General, it will be helpful for you to be part of the meeting when we meet with the department. Even if it's not yourself, but your teams must be here to be part of the discussions, and it will even help to as we take the process forward in terms of the audit exchange plans that the department has, the entity has to develop, and you to know what members would have said about the audit. We will invite yourself, the external auditors, and Mr. Londolozi usually become part of us, which I don't think we'll have a problem with him. Are we agreeing, external auditors?
Through your chair, we agree.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you, Chair. If we can get the invite, Chairperson.
Yes, we are going to do that through the secretary of the committee. Immediately we get the slot, and then we'll send that invite to yourselves, and we'll take cognizance that you need to be given in time, such that you can then be able to avail yourself. Thank you very much, Mr. Londolozi.
Hello, Chairperson.
Hello.
Oh, okay. Yes, I thought.
Oh, yes, I was saying that.
Muted.
Oh, thank you. Somebody's muting me. I was saying that there is a research that has been circulated to honorable members by the researcher from the NCOP. Because now it's already 12:07, members would go and read those research, and then it will then help us even more to interact with the HDA at the date that would get them to be part of us and interact with us on the annual report. I want to take this opportunity to thank honorable members and the auditors and the auditor general for availing yourself and congratulate you on your audit report, and thank you very much. The meeting stands adjourned.
Thank you, honorable chair.
Great.
Yes, Mukala. Hey, can I not talk to you on network? Yes, Mukala.